You probably were expecting a man to be up here, so like a man could speak to you, but that didn't work out. Okay, that's just the way it is. Not my doing, it's all God. Cause I tried, and it happened. So when it doesn't happen, then it's kind of just that's just the way it worked out, people. Okay. So I'm here to just and so it's not about a man or a woman, right? Because I'm not just going to speak to the man today, right? I mean, I am going to speak to the man, so I hope you can hear me. But I am speaking to the women and whoever's present, amen? Because God's word is for everyone, right?
Amen.
So I'll just go ahead. Instead of me clicking this, Bevan, can you guys just click it for me? Okay, good. Because I don't want to use that. Okay, so let's go ahead. So my message today, and if I take a minute for each point, then we'll end up being here about 10 minutes. And then you guys can go off and do your thing today. But I might go further than that. So the title of the, today's message is God's Promises for the Hungry Hearts. How many of you have the YouVersion app on your phone? Two. Wow. And all of you have phones. Who has a phone? Okay, well, YouVersion, who has a Bible app? I guess there's different ones out there, I guess. I don't know how I found the YouVersion one, or three of us in this church did. But YouVersion Bible app is great. That's where Pastor Chris got that one study, the app, or the what was it called? Intentional Living? By
Andy Stanley.
Yes, by Stanley. Anyways, that app, it has a lot of reading plans. And there's no excuse for anybody to not have a reading plan. Some are 4 days, some are 7 days, some are 3 days. Anyways, I came across this one, and I'm now doing it for Freedom and Fitness. So for a couple of the ladies here who attend Freedom and Fitness, I'll probably review for you guys. I might go a little bit deeper. And it's called God's Promises for the Hungry Heart. So it's just taking me through all of God's promises throughout the Bible.
Yes.
How many know that there are promises in the Bible that God gives us?
Yes.
Amen? So when's the last time somebody's promised you something? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what that was. Maybe it was one of the boys promised him something.
You're in trouble.
Or how about years ago, somebody promised you something? Right? We get promises a lot, right? But the only true promise comes from God.
Amen.
That one, those promises are never going to fail us.
All right.
Amen?
Yes.
So let's just get into it. Before I start, though, I want to say a shout out to my son Daniel. It's his birthday today. And I say that because I can't remember how many years this happens, but he was born on Father's Day. So that was David's gift that day. When he was born 17 years ago, so I think it happens every
4 years.
Every 4 years, I guess. I seem to forget the 4 year when it happened. But so that's Dave's gift today. Okay, so let's start with the first promise. Let's see. Who's hungry? Who has a hungry heart?
Amen.
Two people, three people have hungry hearts. Four people. Do I get five people? Five people have hungry hearts. Well, I don't know, but you guys need to get hungry, okay? Or else you're falling asleep. Maybe you should have done it after, not before. Okay, so one of his promises, and this is in simple terms for you to understand, and then we'll get into the word. The first promise I want to share is, I will never lie to you. I'll make good what I say. Amen?
Yes.
That's what God is promising you. He's going to make good on what he says.
Yes.
So whoever promised you anything before, if they didn't make good on what they say, it's okay. We're human, right? But God never lies.
That's right.
So the scripture, Numbers 23:19, go ahead and turn there. And when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Sister Dora's got it. Amen. And here, I need to get it. Oh, I'm looking at everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Numbers 23:19 reads, Numbers 23:19 reads, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?
Yeah.
Wow. Amen?
Yes.
God doesn't lie. He's not going to change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
And does he speak and then not act? He acts. The only thing is he may not act the way we want him to act. Maybe he doesn't give us what we want or what we've asked for, but he acts.
Amen.
And we need to remember that. Amen?
Yes.
So the main point that I have for this one is it's important we make God our source for everything. Right? So if somebody's promised you something before in the past and they never followed through with it or they hurt you through it, I'm sorry. But we're all human. Amen? That's why it's important that we make God our source for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
We can trust him in all that he says. Amen? Does everybody believe that?
Yes.
These are promises that God gives us. We need to, if you're not writing it down, you should. Because this is something I told my ladies at Freedom and Fitness. It's good for us to remember these things when we're going through things.
Right? Yeah.
We post them around your desk. Post them at home. Give them to your children. Let them know these are God's promises. Amen. Everybody has that one?
Yes.
Okay. The second promise. Trust me, I keep my word forever. Amen. Deuteronomy 7:9. Turn there. If you haven't got your reading in for the week, well, today you are. Deuteronomy 7:9 reads, know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
So his promise doesn't say that he keeps his covenant to 1,000 people. It says to 1,000 generations. Amen? That's a long time. God is faithful. Even when we're not, God is, right? Even if you consider yourself faithful, obviously you're not, right? But he is constantly faithful.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Next one. Put me first, I will give you all you need. You believe that?
Yeah.
But if you put him first, he's going to give us all we need?
Yes.
Sometimes people think, sometimes they think that we already don't have all we need. We want more and more and more. But if you stop and think about it, God gives us all that we need.
Yes,
yeah, maybe all that we have right now is all that we need.
Yes.
Amen? So let's turn to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 reads, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So this is a mandate, right? This is not, God's not saying, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and then maybe it'll all be given to you. No, it's saying that, yes, I will give you all things if you seek me first, if you seek my kingdom. Amen? So this must be the rule of life when ordering our priorities. It's not a priority. Does that make sense? This should be something that rules over our priorities. It's not one that we just make a priority. My priority is to put God first. No, you should really be doing that.
Yeah.
That's a given. Amen? This should prioritize. Can you say that word? There you go. I just wanted you guys to say it. Everything. All our priorities. Right? Amen? Does that make sense to everybody?
Amen.
Don't make this a priority. Make sure that this puts in all your priorities in order. Right? The way you treat people. The way you treat strangers, your coworkers, your friends, the way you maybe even don't run a red light or be kind to people on the road.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen, right? I'm just saying. I don't know, that was me. Amen. So making the commitment to seek first the kingdom of God. Now get this. Making the commitment to seek first the kingdom of God will support or contradict whether we have repented and are converted. Do you believe that? If you're not seeking the kingdom of God, then you need to question your salvation. Because we cannot have, when you're born again, you have repented. Amen? You have asked for forgiveness. In order to seek the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Make sense? Amen? We can't love God, ourselves, or others if we do not seek the first, the kingdom of God. Everybody agree on that? Okay, I hope so. Because I know how Pastor feels sometimes. A quiet group. Amen. I respond to sleep. It was those spam and white rice.
All right.
I know, right? There's no more left, Lydia.
All right.
Next, when you soak yourself in my word, you'll have success. Who wants to be successful?
Amen.
Amen? Only a couple of us want to be successful.
Yeah.
I do. I want to be successful. But let's not get it mixed up with the world's success.
All right.
Amen? Yeah. Success doesn't mean whatever you think the world, what kind of success the world gives. Success in God's eyes is totally different. So let's turn to Joshua 1:8. I think all of you know that, right? Joshua 1:8. Amen.
Amen?
Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Amen?
Amen.
Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So it has to be on your lips, right? It has to be on your mind, and it has to be something you do on a daily basis. It's not good enough to just read it, though, right?
Yes.
Christian success is not the world's success, and it's not a life without problems. So if you think that you're going to read God's word and everything's going to be jolly, well, then I don't know. That's not the way it works, pretty much. But it's a life able to deal with anything. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Next one. Joshua 1:9. This is a promise from that word. You can be fearless in any situation because I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but doesn't that, like, get you pumped up? I don't know, it gets me pumped up. Like, that word fearless?
Fearless.
He's telling us that we can be fearless in any situation. Even if I do feel like I'm not capable, I can be fearless. Because he's with me.
Amen.
Joshua 1:9. And most of you should already be there. Because right after. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
I don't know about you, but that should be like a tons of amens.
Amen.
Or hallelujahs. Or orale. I don't know. Something. But it should. Our success doesn't solely depend on our ability to keep God's word. It depends more on God's presence with us.
Yes.
And when you know that, when you know that he is with you, wherever you do, wherever you go, that's when you're fearless.
Yes.
If you don't know that, then maybe that's why you're not pumped up, and maybe you don't fear fearless. But I do.
Amen.
And that's not being boastful. That's just knowing And I've learned that whatever I do, God is with me.
Amen.
Amen. So that God told this to Moses, right? And now he's telling it to Joshua here, the same thing. And Joshua had to learn that God was going to go with him. Amen. Amen. Next one. Matthew 7:9-11. I want to give you good things. Who believes that?
Amen.
Who believes that God is promising you that he wants to give you good things?
Yes?
Yes. Amen. Matthew 7:9-11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen?
Amen.
So obviously, God's going to give us good things, right? We wouldn't dare give our children a stone, right? When they ask for bread. I feel like it sometimes, though. I do because I get tired of them. They're going to find stones in the cereal box. Not going to do that, James. Maybe I will. It depends on how I feel. I know they're all going to be like, oh, gosh. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
And that scripture uses the word evil. You are evil. We are evil. I mean, not all the time, but I mean, we're human. Amen? So if we think this way in our carnal minds, we're talking about God wanting to give us everything, give us good things. He wants to give us good things. And if you don't believe that, then again, I don't know, maybe we need an altar call. But he wants to give us good things.
Amen.
He wants to. And then the thing is about God, what's beautiful is that even when we just ask for this much, he wants to give us even more on top of that. That's what's good. And sometimes we do plead with him as if to persuade him. But he doesn't need persuading, people. He doesn't need persuading. Because he's already promising us that he wants to give us good things. Amen. The next promise. I can use evil things that happen to you to accomplish good things.
Yeah.
Who's had something evil happen to them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Right? Sometimes, like I was talking about on the road, people are evil out there.
Yeah.
People are very rude. And so then you can take this as something very big or something very small, minute. Just how somebody may answer you at work or how they treat you at work. But God says here that he will take that and he'll use it for his good. Genesis 50. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Genesis 50:20. You guys are getting there fast now. They're all taking it serious. Pastor Casey says, orale. Like, really, you're taking it really serious. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. Amen? Every Christian should be able to see the overarching and overruling hand of God in their life. You should be able to see that. And that word overarching means to form an arch over something. So you got to picture it. If everything that is down here happening to you, things are going wrong, you have to see this overarching thing, this overarching hand of God. He's taking care of it. Even if things aren't going good, you have to believe he's working on your behalf if you're seeking him.
Amen.
No matter where place you are in life, he is working on your behalf if you are seeking him.
That's true.
And I'm sorry, if you're not seeking him, then I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I've heard stories where people will say, even when I wasn't faithful, even when I wasn't serving him, he still had his hand on me.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, can you imagine if you are serving him?
Yeah.
the kind of overruling, the kind of cover we will have from God. So no matter what comes against you, no matter what evil comes against you, God's going to turn it around and he's going to use it for good. Amen? And I'll just use an example. Dave has this new job, and he's a supervisor at North High. And this is something maybe even small, and it wasn't even anything evil that happened to us, but he had not lost his job, he had to leave his old job. Took him a year and some to find a new job, and then when he got this job, it wasn't as many hours, or the pay wasn't as good. But we talk about this to this day, thank God. We've had two cars and needed four people to get back and forth in those two cars. But because of his hours that God actually put in front of him, we were able to make sure the kids got to school. I was able to get to work. It just worked out. We had time in the morning to pray together. We had time to talk in the morning as husband and wife on the way to work. It worked out beautifully.
Yeah.
And what I thought was going to be bad, God took that and he made it good.
Amen.
He made it good. We got through another school year, and that's amazing to me because coming from Gonzales back and forth, right? You guys know?
Yeah.
Can be difficult with two cars and four people needing it. So, but I thank God. So sometimes we're stuck in this little part of our life where things are happening to us, and we're saying, you know, God, where are you? Why aren't you taking me out of this? He's there. He's working.
Yes, amen.
He's there. In all our circumstances, he's there with us.
Yes.
We just have to be able to remember that overarching and overruling, his hand is upon us.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's hard. When you're in the middle of a storm, it's hard to see that. It's very hard to see that. But we have to hang on. Amen?
Yes.
That's his promise to us.
Amen.
And he doesn't lie.
No, he doesn't.
Amen? What's the next one? I will cause your life to draw others to Christ.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Who's a fisher in here?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
How many?
Everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Nina. Good answer.
Good.
But she used to teach, the young Christian life or new Christian converts, so she knows all that, right, Sister Nina?
Yes.
I miss those classes.
Yeah.
Where we used to go into the bus and learn.
Uh-huh.
Those were the days. I don't know why the bus was not too cute, but it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. And so she has the right answers. If you don't think you're a fisher, you are a fisher.
Yes,
amen?
Yes.
We're all fishers.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 4:19 tells us so. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen?
Amen.
But did you guys know that to follow Jesus means you must leave some things behind?
Yes.
That's tough. And sometimes it's not things. Sometimes it's people. Yep, circumstances, problems, our pasts. You can't be fishers of men if you haven't left things behind. Because all sometimes God wants you to do is pick up your net and follow him. And that's it. So you can't be carrying those things of the past with you. Amen? And more so, being a fisher means you are looking for fish, right? You can't call yourself a fisher if you're not looking for fish. So are you looking for fish? We should all be looking for fish, right? Because look at all these promises we keep telling our friends, our family who don't know the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen? His promises. Amen. Next one. While you depend on me, I will get things done for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
While you depend on him. Right? If you depend on yourself, things aren't going to get done. Who's tried that?
Amen.
I have. I still do. And then I have to check myself and remember that he's telling me while I depend on him, he's going to get things done for me.
Yes, he will.
Exodus 14:14. Right now at Freedom and Fitness, I'm doing this on Tuesdays after our workout. Adeline is doing, she's taking us through the book of Moses, the book of Joseph. Not the book of Joseph.
Genesis.
I'm doing that. And I think the people who come to my to Freedom and Fitness are like, the book of Joseph? That's not a Catholic book. She's taking us through the story of Joseph. And it's funny because we are so into it, the women. We keep jumping ahead, and Adeline keeps having to reel us back. I'm like, we're not there yet. Calm down. But it's a beautiful story. We all know the story of Joseph,
yeah,
right? But this one right here really talks about that. Mm-hmm. While you depend on me, I will get things done for you. Can you imagine what Joseph went through? God was all, talk about overarching, overruling hand of God in his life. He had it. He had that. And that's what God promises us. So Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Do you hear that, men? God is going to fight for you. All you need to do is be still. That doesn't mean to just be still. That means to have peace. To know it's all good. God has your back. You know, and I thought about it when I was going to give these promises. Because that's my wish. I mean, I want, you know, these are my promises that I wish I want for my husband, the promise I want for you men. And the thing that when I was thinking about it, I don't know all your lives, men. Men are women, we can only understand the man to certain points.
Mm-hmm.
Some things we do not at all understand. Amen? Amen. Vice versa. And I'm glad because God made us totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God made you men a certain way.
Yes.
And he made us a certain way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I'm not up here to tell you I know what you go through as men because I don't. Even though I'm married to my husband and I have three men, in my household that we're trying to raise, I don't know exactly what goes on in your brains or what you have to take upon your shoulders.
Mm.
But I do know that he will fight for you, men, with whatever you're going through.
Yeah.
Whether it's at work, whether it's how tired you are, whether whatever is on your shoulders, as long as you be still in the Lord and you hold your peace, he will fight for you.
Yes, he will.
That's a promise. And if you don't know that, that's the biggest promise I would want you to leave with here today,
yeah,
is that he is there to fight for you.
Amen.
So you don't have to be all macho.
How?
Macho. You can if you want and look all good. But for reals, serious notes, God is going to fight your fights. He's going to fight your battles.
Amen.
Amen. If we focus on God being our only help, then we can stop relying on ourselves. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Yes.
Oh, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good that I don't have to take it all on myself. I love the idea of being able to transfer all of my burdens and all of my problems and all of my trials and all of my confusion,
right,
all of my worry and all of my anxiety.
Okay.
Did I say anxiety? If I did, I can say it again. Anxiety. And just, I'm able to just lay it at the feet of Jesus. And he's going to fight for me. Right? When my kids are driving me nuts. And not even because they're driving me nuts. Sometimes it's just their lives drive me nuts. The things that it entails for you to have children, school, getting them into adulthood, you know, the driving part, that. I mean, anxiety. What, anxiety? That's anxiety. But that I know that I can leave them in God's hands, and he's going to fight their battles, and a mama doesn't have to fight them, and papa don't have to fight them. I can exhale. I can totally exhale. Amen. Amen. But as we wait for God to fight for us, we need to have peace. So I always see this, me doing this. I want God to have it all, right? I want him to take care of it. But then there's always something that I want to snatch back. Mm-hmm. And I want to handle it myself. Give it to God and give it all to him.
Yeah.
Amen? Because tell you the truth, he does it a lot better than what you're going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to fight better than what you fight.
Amen?
Amen? Okay. And you know what peace is? Peace is freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. This is a good one. Peace is freedom from or the cessation of war or violence. I don't have to fight those people who are up against me. All I have to do is leave them in God's hands. And he's going to fight for me. I always think of Moses and when he took his people to up to the Red Sea, when Pharaoh was behind him and after him. Can you imagine? And I shared this at Freedom and Fitness. Can you imagine when he got up there to the water and all the people are behind him? I don't think Moses understood how they were going to get over. Right? In fact, I'm pretty sure he was like, oh. He probably could feel all the people looking at him thinking, Moses, what did you do? You nitwits? You got us all the way here? How are we going to pass through? All he knew was that he had to stand right there.
Yeah.
Hold his peace and believe God was going to fight for him. Mm. And then what happened?
Yeah.
Watch out.
That is beautiful.
Yes.
And that, if that's what you picture every time you're going through something, then that's going to get you through a lot. Amen?
Yeah.
That's peace right there.
Yes.
That God's going to take care of it. I don't know. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he is because he promised me he will.
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Amen. The next promise, this is the last one. Give me your burdens and you'll receive my rest. Right? So God says, give me your burdens, let's exchange here. Give me your burdens, and I'm gonna give you my rest. Amen? Matthew 11. Amen. Matthew 11, 28. Through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. God didn't say in his word there, come to me, Becky, or Adeline, or Daniel, or Pastor Moore. He said, come to me all.
Yes.
All you who are worried. He doesn't care who you are. All he wants you to do is come to him. Jesus doesn't drive anybody away. Amen? Jesus wants to relieve us of everything we take upon ourselves. Again, something that is so comforting for me that I know that he has my back and he can do it all for me.
Yes.
Another time that I can exhale.
Really?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So before I call up the kids, because we do have one more gift for you men, I just want to pray.
Amen.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just first want to give you thanks and praise for who you are. We want to thank you, Lord, for the promises, Father God. And this was just 10 promises, Lord. 10 promises that I had time to share, Lord. But I know, Lord, that your word is full of promises. Over 1,000, over 3,000 promises that you have given your people, Lord. And I pray that the men here today, that they remember that they can hold on to your promise, that they can rely on them, that they can bring them back up. When they are going through something, Lord, that you are not a liar. You will never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That you will always be there for them. And you will always be here for all of us, Lord, no matter who we are, Lord. So I pray that you continue to speak to us through your word. Your word is alive.
Yes.
And it can encourage, and it can bring us peace, Lord. So I just thank you, Father God. I pray that we remember and we recall on your promises, Lord, that we would stand by them, Father God, and that we would lay all the things that we go through in life, that we would lay it at your feet, Father God, because you have promised to take care of your people, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.